Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Yesterday, we looked at some detailed numbers on the incidence of police shooting deaths in the United States, part of an in-depth investigation by The Guardian. The Guardian was motivated to see more clearly the state of police and citizen tension and the racial issues portrayed in media coverage and protests around the nation in the wake of some very high-profile shootings. Today, a view of those statistics from a former cop and social scientist who was also seeing a change in approach among some urban police departments that has had an impact on crime. Here in New York City, for instance, gun violence and murders are on the rise. In Baltimore, since the protests and the killing of Freddie Gray, 43 people were killed in May alone, marking the deadliest month in more than 40 years for that city. Those 43 people were not killed by police officers. The LAPD has reported a 27% spike in violent crime in L.A. during the first 3 months of the year. Peter Moskos, former Baltimore City police officer and professor at John Jay College, says we may be seeing the street consequences of having law enforcement stand down in the interest of protecting some civil liberties.
I do worry somewhat that there's been a trend in policing over the past decades to make policing more hands-off and an over-reliance on tasers, for instance. And a lot of the shootings seem to happen when tasers don't work. And tasers don't always work. And other times, tasers kill people. And sometimes I wonder if policing has moved away from simply grabbing somebody. If you have four cops and the suspect is unarmed, you shouldn't use a taser. But right now, police are trained to use what's called less lethal force for non-compliant situations. And that worries me. Sometimes you just got to go and grab the guy, and it might look ugly because it might result in a fight, but the odds are no one's going to die.
What are the police and policymakers to do with the apparent rise in violent crime in New York City and the real spike in violent crime that's taking place in Baltimore right now?
Well, one thing especially in Baltimore, which I know better because I used to be a cop there, I think it clearly shows in some ways for the first time that police actually matter, because there still is, especially from a lot of academics, the idea that police, as strange as it sounds, are largely irrelevant to crime prevention because they look at societal issues, poverty, unemployment, racism, and those matter. But certainly in Baltimore, you have a situation now where police are being forced to be less proactive because of the controversies, because of the death of Freddie Gray, because of the riots. And when police don't go into places and deal with criminals, and it's not that everyone in the neighborhoods is criminals, but police are dealing with a certain criminal class, and they're dealing with that less. And criminals are more brazen. They're less likely to leave the gun at home. And a lot of the homicides are spontaneous, but you need the sort of nexus of access to a gun, of anger, of an argument, and you need to be able to find your victim. And that seems to be the cause of the doubling of homicides in Baltimore since April 27th.
What's the difference between police being compelled, as you say, not to be proactive, and police voluntarily or just passively standing down because of low morale based on the treatment that they've gotten in the press?
They do go together a bit. I mean, there's a cliche in the police world that if you don't work, you can't get in trouble. But if you do, which I don't, if you do see police as agents of repression, then you want police to do less, unless they're called by a citizen. But what you have now in Baltimore is a combination of horribly low morale and the fact that you need 3, 4, and 5 officers to respond to situations where before one officer could deal with it. But now the officers are being surrounded by crowds on routine calls. So you simply don't have the resources to police like you used to police.
Now, there is talk in New York City that the decline of stop and frisk, both for legal reasons and because there's a policy move away from stop and frisk techniques, is possibly responsible for the rise in violent crime in the city of New York, which really hasn't risen like this in decades. Would you say that there's a way of reversing these numbers, or are we in some sort of cycle that no policy is necessarily going to address?
I don't think rise or drops in crime are inevitable. Certainly there'll be some upticks and downticks. What you see in New York that's worrisome is specifically an increase in gun violence. The debate I think we should be having is, look, maybe we should accept that there are going to be 50 or 100 more murders in New York City if it means that hundreds of thousands of otherwise innocent people are not being stopped by police. That's a tough debate to have, but that's the one we've been ignoring so far. It's hard to imagine that hundreds of thousands of stops doesn't have some deterrent effect on people carrying guns. It seems hard, especially for people from the left, to acknowledge that a certain amount of, for lack of a better term, repression might have a deterrent effect on crime. Now, it might not be worth it. There are legal issues, there are constitutional issues, there are moral issues, there are race issues involved. But what police, how police perform and how they act matters, and that's a debate we sort of been sidestepping the whole time, thinking that somehow policing is only a matter of community relations.
So we need to really think of this in terms of a trade-off, as scary as that sounds, rather than in terms of absolutes regarding civil liberties or absolutes regarding neighborhood security.
Potentially. We certainly have to keep civil liberties and neighborhood relations into account. But the police job, in large part, when push comes to shove, does involve a use of force. And it's not just waving and being nice to the nice working people in the neighborhood, though that is part of it. You know, non-criminals should not dislike the police. But at some point, police have to deal with people who are willing to kill each other. And there may be some trade-off there. And we can debate that and come to whatever conclusion we want. But I think it's important to address that issue, that policing is not always pretty and friendly.
Peter Moskos is a former Baltimore City police officer who is now a professor at John Jay College here in New York City. Thanks so much.
Thanks.